Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning. I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word with today's opening message. I have faith that I am divinely guided. Today I consider the path that has brought me to this moment. Looking back at past situations, I see that the seemingly insurmountable obstacles held rich new opportunities to allow my Christ self to guide my every choice. Divine guidance is never withheld and is more rewarding than any scenarios my mortal mind can envision. Just as I encourage others to actively seek enlightenment from their inner source, I remind myself to do the same. Spiritual guidance is readily available to me and to all creation through a divine connection. Through spirit within, my perspective changes and possibilities become reality. I have faith that I am divinely guided. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 32:8. Let us remain seated while Sherry, give it up, Sherry Lee, leads us in Surely the Presence. Thank you.
Good day.
We got cool hands.
Yeah, I know.
Good morning.
Again.
She was very hopeful. It sounded good. I'd gone to a meeting with the doctor once. So
So hopefully she'll be back soon and her light can shine again for all of us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joanne?
I'm printing off copies of the new directory. I'll hop them downstairs after the meeting.
Thank you.
As she is the goddess of the Right. What else? Anything else?
Does anybody know when Johnny's surgery was rescheduled for?
Tuesday.
The 28th.
The 26th, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay. All right, then please join me in our unity statement. That's found in your program, and we'll say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Now please stand for the song of joy.
Oh.
That's right. My bad. Please remain seated while we are graced by Sherry's performance of How High Can I Fly.
Unless you
want to
sing with me. I can sing. And thank you to my wonderful husband who's my sound person. All right. Couldn't do it without him.
No, on the microphone ones, the little ones.
There we go. There.
Cool. Oh, little one.
Yeah.
Okay. There. Yes, I am happy. And after that incredible song of about up there. This morning, our reading will be given by Happen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning, Anitha asks that I read the following to all of you. And it's beautiful. It's called My Uniqueness, and it's by Liliana Cohen. It's not my weakness, it is my openness. It's not my doubts, it is my questioning mind. It's not that I say too much, it's my courage to share. It's not my fear, it's my prudence. And it's not my stupidity. It's my choice of what I want to know. It's not my credulity, it is my trust. It's not my depression, it is my acceptance. It's not my recklessness, it is my curiosity and my love of life. It's not my chaos, it's my artistic soul. It's not my weakness, it is my uniqueness. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to request a copy of that.
I was going to say, if you'll give it to me, I'll make a copy and email everybody. That was really good.
That was really good. Thank you. And please remain seated for our meditation song, number 6. In your songbook.
I am healthy, active, whole, and happy.
I am always growing and expanding in the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in perfect time. And for our, the Lord's Prayer, this being the fourth Sunday, we will use the progressive version, and that's found in the handout in front of your hymnal. Please do put that back when you're done. The Lord's Prayer. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
I am
thy kingdom come.
I am thy will be done.
I am on earth even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life even as I am also all forgiven. I am leading all men and women from temptation. I am delivering all men and women from error, for I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am.
Song. I felt like that was a Sunday morning lesson, flying high, and the wonderful poem as well, all lessons for us. I have two topics, I think, for Sunday morning lesson this morning. One of them being optimism, and the other being hospitality. So somehow I'll try to fit those two topics together. Optimism is defined as our confidence in the future or in a successful outcome of a future event. In unity, we nurture optimism through affirmative prayer, visualizing positive outcomes, or speaking or writing affirmations. Even so, it can be a struggle at times to overcome feelings of anxiety or worry. This isn't personal. Scientists tell us the brain has a natural proclivity toward negativity. Why would that be? Well, apparently, as we developed over time, this was a protective mechanism, right? In prehistoric times, we had to always be watching out for the t- tiger or for rocks falling down cliffs or storms blowing branches in our faces or whatever it was, we had to be always sort of on our guard and looking for the bad thing that might happen so that we could be aware and continue to live. So our brain developed in this very strange way, but now we don't have any saber-toothed tigers, and we have ways of protecting ourselves, and so we don't need that proclivity toward negativity. But still it's with us because it's almost a biological effect. So how do we work with this or combat this since we don't need it anymore? Martin Seligman is a psychologist who wrote a book called Learned Optimism. We can learn how to be more optimistic. He tells us your level of optimism depends on your explanatory style, which means how do we explain to ourselves why something happened the way it happened? What do we say to ourselves about what happened? Now, we continually tell ourselves little stories all day long about why things happened the way they did. And how we tell those stories is important in terms of our level of optimism. We've all heard this question from a friend trying to nudge us to a more optimistic view. Do you see your cup as half full or half empty, right? In other words, how are you choosing to perceive your life? Is your life full of blessings or empty of them? What are you focusing on? Seligman explains that explanatory styles of pessimists versus optimists are predictably different, and they're different in significant ways. And these are called the three P's. So the first is personalization. Pessimists consider a failure to be personal. I lost. I failed. It's my fault. Optimists tend to see the failure as coming from a non-personal source. So here's an example. If the pessimist loses the tennis match, she thinks, oh, I failed the game. I should have played differently. If an optimist loses the match, he thinks, grass isn't the best surface to play on. Right? He can see that it may be something out of his control. Now, another criterion for how whether we look at something optimistically or pessimistically, the second P is permanence. So the pessimist believes that when a difficulty presents itself, it will last forever, right? How many of us have felt that way? Oh my gosh, you know, I don't feel well, I've got the flu, I'm just gonna have this flu forever, right? But the optimist sees the difficulty as time limited and not an indicator of how things will pan out in the future. The pessimist may think, oh no, I'll never get good at tennis, I'm clumsy. An optimistic person thinks, I learned something new, I'll do better tomorrow. Right? More expansive. Now finally, the third P is pervasiveness. Our perception of pervasiveness relating to space can be a factor in whether we're optimistic or pessimistic. So pessimists see setbacks as all pervasive, all or nothing thinking.
I'm just, you know, since I'm terrible at tennis, I'm just terrible. Right? So pessimists see setbacks as all pervasive. Nothing works out for me. While optimists see setbacks as narrowly contained or confined to one area of life. And the thought comes, I have a life outside of playing tennis. I don't have to be great at everything. Right? So these thoughts and these stories that we make up in our mind, we have control over. And because we have control over these thoughts and stories, we have control over whether we're pessimistic or optimistic. We can choose how we want to view our life and the perceptions that we have of our life. We have control. So first, start by simply observing. It's a little spiritual direction, right? A little homework. So over this next week, start by simply observing. What are you telling yourself about the events that happen in your life? They could be really simple. This doesn't have to be something big. You know, maybe you knock a glass of water off the kitchen counter. What are you telling yourself when that happens? You know? When things didn't necessarily work out for you as you had planned, what do you say about that? Was it all personal? Was it all under your control? Do you blame yourself? Do you blame other people? Or are you more generous with the many possibilities that could be at play in the unfolding of the event? What stories are you telling yourself about why things are not going smoothly? Are you making yourself wrong or personally at fault? Could there be other factors? Are you extending and expanding a mistake into the future when the event may actually never occur again? We can cause ourselves a lot of anxiety, can't we, about, oh my gosh, what is going to happen next week? And then the thing never happens. And can you see a lesson in the mistake? Oh, this was great because I learned something. Learn something from this. And now I've learned a different strategy for next time. This is a good thing. So finally, are you inclined to see the unwanted circumstances playing out in all areas of your life when in fact it's confined to one area? When my nephew Alex was just a little squirt. He used to run and jump as high as he could, and my brother would catch him. And every time Alex would run and jump as high as he could, my brother would catch him. And this would go on in the living room over and over again. And my brother never asked Alex to stop jumping. And when Alex was older, teenager, in gymnastics, he would run and jump, and sometimes he'd go flying over those parallel bars and land right on his butt, right on his bottom. And every time that Alex ran and jumped and went flying over the parallel bars and fell on his face or on his bottom, he'd get up and he'd smile and he'd say, I'm getting better. And every time he ran and jumped and went flying over the parallel bars, he'd get up and smile and say, I'm getting better. And then as a young man, he competed in the Olympics in gymnastics. And this last Olympics, he won the bronze medal for our country in gymnastics. Now, we don't all have the stellar optimism that Alex has, but because of it, I believe, he made his family proud and he made his country proud. He's an amazing young man. Has the American flag tattooed on his arm. So when we have a setback, we can just remember Alex and smile and say, I'm getting better. Now, we can use this reflection on optimism as we step more fully into a commitment to unity. The ultimate intention of our unity vocation is an openness to personal spiritual exploration and an inclusiveness and respect for all faiths and spiritual paths. I love this poetry of the Psalms, the miracle stories in the Gospels, the writings of the Lotus Sutra, the Upanishads, the Quran. There is a lot of wisdom in these books. I would encourage reading them. But don't be a Christian. Don't be a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Sikh. Be your best self. You don't have to follow anyone. Follow your own good heart. We don't even have to be on a particular path. Don't be on the path to harmony. Be harmonious in your personal walk through life. Don't be on the path to peace. Be peace. Don't be on the path to generosity. Be generous. And how do you do this? Simply by noticing when you are. Notice when you're bringing harmony to a conversation or situation. Notice when you feel peaceful inside. Notice when you are being generous. And the more attention you give to this noticing, guess what? Your harmony, peace, and generosity will expand and grow into all circumstances. This is the magic of noticing. Because whatever you focus on will grow and expand. So focus on these times, notice these times of harmony and generosity and peace coming from your own good heart. You probably know the name Deepak Chopra, the man who has brought awareness of East Indian meditation and health practices into our culture. I read recently a list of directives from Deepak for how to bring greater happiness into our lives. One of his directives was this: give up being right. Give up being right. Instead, meet others where they are with a curious mind. What do you believe? What do you value? What's important to you? I want to hear what you have to say. I'm interested in you. And what a generous gift to simply listen deeply as someone else answers those questions. And we can tell, can't we, when someone is really listening and when they're just getting ready to say what they think is important? We can meet people where they are. This is a beautiful spiritual practice. We can give up being right. Now, when new people come to our door, we can imagine that they are seeking. They are demonstrating great courage, actually. They may not feel comfortable abandoning the faith of their parents, their grandparents. And yet, that belief system no longer serves them. They don't need someone telling them their parents were wrong or that we are right. Let's be a faith family who gives up being right. Instead, let's practice being the family of the good and generous heart. Meeting people where they are with a curious mind. We don't have to think alike to love alike. Patience is another spiritual practice that most of us struggle with. I know I do. We may have happily rushed to unity, feeling finally that we found a faith that fits our understanding perfectly. But developing faith is not a race. And in fact, is often a very private, personal, slow process. Our friend or family member or member of our faith community may be walking a different path for a long while, never fully walking at our pace. That's perfectly fine. Patience is not a practice of waiting, but rather a practice of truly being with another, meeting them where they are on their own journey. So notice your own level of optimism in any moment. How is your perception feeding how you feel? Nurture and build optimism through your thoughts, beliefs, and practices. Study and learn more about unity. And then let go of being right. Make it your own personal path without needing other people to walk at the same pace. Instead, be curious and open as new people come through the door. Create a unique and generous community, unity community here in Centralia. Thank you. I think that this is probably a good time to say that this is my last time to speak here at Unity Centralia, and I actually have taken a position, a full-time position, as a case manager for family education and services in Olympia. So I'm excited. I'm a little bit have a little anxiety about it as well. It's been a long time since I've been back at an 8-to-5 Monday through Friday position, but I'm excited about it, and I'll be doing very good work. I'll be helping to find jobs for people, actually. So I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to move into our meditation song now. So let's start our meditation with settling in our bodies, grounding in our bodies. And taking a breath. and really slowing down and following your breath. Settling into that peaceful place. That place deep in your heart where optimism lives. Where you perceive the good in everything and everyone. And most importantly, where you see the good and the love inside yourself. Noticing your unique expression of love. And seeing this in whatever way you wish to see it. Practicing coming home to yourself, feeling safe and nurtured. And so it is. Blessed be. Thank you.
so much for your music. Let's say our blessing of thanks together, found in your programs. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is. For a healing prayer, if you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your heart. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them with your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Let's all say a prayer of protection together. You'll find that on the back of your program. Wall to your right. Together, the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. Finally, let's form a circle, join hands, and sing our song of peace. Thank you to everyone who made our Sunday service possible. Jerry up there greeting people as we walk in the door. We have Hallie with her reading, beautiful music of Sherry Lee. Of course, Anitha with words of wisdom as always, and all you wonderful people who cook food. Thank you.